Maybe it's deeper than I thought. I'll tell you, within 10 minutes, I got my leg amputated. That's how this goes. So I have to watch this thing. And it can talk to me today. You know, it can say to me, my God, you know, why do you have to go to all these meetings? You know, you are a dingbat. You are, you know, 70s, almost 76 years old, for crying out loud, and you're going to another meeting? You should stay home and rest. Stay on the sofa. You know, it always talks to me. And so what I have to do is what you've taught me to do over the years, and that's to hit the phone or let my feet and legs do the walking, get in the car, and go to a meeting. I need to do that today. I can't listen to this up there. But anyway, so I switched to wine, and I loved wine. It was like rocket juice. It took me where I wanted to go. You know, the top shelf stuff, Muscatel and Italian Swiss Colony Sherry, and blah. And the guy on the next street made Mad Dog, and I loved it. It had crunchy stuff on the bottom, so I thought I was getting my nutrients. You know, and I loved wine because it came in the large economy size. It came in fifths. It came in pints. It came in quarts. And I had to hide it. And they were having the bottle hunt on Saturdays. You know, it was like Herbert Hoover and the FBI would go through this stuff looking for it. So I decided, well, I'd hide it somewhere they wouldn't look. So I hid it in the douchebag. And if you don't know what one of those are, go home and ask your grandmother. I used to take it and pour it into the thingamajiggy, and then I put foil over the top so that the fumes wouldn't come out, and I hang it in the bathroom because nobody looks in one. And then, when the great thirst would come over me, I'd go in the bathroom and shut the door and take the hose and down it would go. And it worked. It worked. I had no trouble with the second step, believe me. And then, you know, then that didn't work. Then he found it. So then I decided to start painting, you know, a fifth at a time of this wine stuff. And I could hang it out the second story window on a rope, and then I could just wick it up and take a little slurp because I couldn't see it hanging out there. And, you know, this family disease, I remember my husband went, he called me down, so I thought, oh, God, no. He called me down and he said, Beth, what's that? And I said, I don't see what you're talking about. And he said, you wait right here. I'm going down the street to get Marty. Now, Marty was his best friend. So he said, don't you move. And I said, I won't. And the minute he was gone, I shot up those stairs and hauled that thing in underneath the bed, ran back downstairs, and I wasn't even breathing hard. And he came back with Marty. He said, Marty, I think something bad is happening to her. And he said, look what she's doing. And Marty looked up there and he said, hey, Bruce, I don't see anything. Maybe you got a problem. So, you know, the poor families. I thank God for Al-Anon. You know, I wish they'd had a bag then. But anyway, so he had enough of this. He had enough of my check writing and my interfering with the savings account and everything. I used to whine about that. When I first got sober, I used to whine over the fact that I was off the checking account and the savings account. And you told me, listen, you got to earn the right. You got to earn the right to do the things that normal people do. And I remember when I was 5 years sober, I got put back on the checking account and the savings account, and not one day sooner. So anyway, he said to me, after 5 years of this, you got a problem, you better go to Alcoholics Anonymous, or I'm going to cut off your allowance. And that was the sentence that got me, because I didn't think I'd have money coming in from anywhere else. So for the first of three times, I went around alcohol.